You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday. We are back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Holt, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we are taking a midday Disney break to come to you and discuss the Jim Harbaugh of it all. Because it's weirdly not a complete slam dunk that he is back at Michigan. Now, things have certainly turned since I formulated the idea that this was what I was going to talk about on Wednesday. How much can I fill a whole show with it? I'm not 100% sure, but we are going to try. And right now my voice, for some reason, is not working very well, probably because I've been out in the rain for the last day and a half. It has not been Southern California weather, but still a little soaked, just soaked through a little bit. Well, really just my hood. And then, throwing my body around, just going in Indiana Jones ride. I went on Guardians of the Galaxy mission breakout three times today. So that's probably why. Anyway, let's get to this Jim Harbaugh of it all. Because not really sure exactly what is going to happen here. But from all the reports out there, just kind of what is happening, it went from being like, it sounds like he's probably not going to be the coach of Michigan. And it's from reputable people. I know people get real, he's been saying he's going to be back. Went from being reputable people. Nicole Auerbach is as reputable as it gets. And she did a collaboration with Austin Meek, who's, program adjacent in Ann Arbor. So The Athletic had reported if he gets an NFL offer, he's going to take it. From talking to some colleagues in the know, they went from saying exactly that. They were very much on that mentality as well, to it now sounding like the chances are is that he is going to return to Michigan. But he needs to be treated in the same terms as the coaches who have been able to do the types of things that he has done have done. And I don't think there's any problem with that. Like, I think that he absolutely needs to be paid. When you have James Franklin and Mel Tucker out there getting crazy max contracts, James Franklin's done some things, but, he hasn't sniffed the college football playoff. Mel Tucker has done nothing. Beat Michigan. If beating your rival a couple times is 100% worth it, then by all means. But the problem is with beating Michigan is that it doesn't have the same stakes as, say, beating Ohio State has for Michigan. Because beating Ohio State for Michigan means you're going to the college football playoff. If MSU's beating Michigan, a lot of times that doesn't necessarily mean anything, But Michigan has now been to the college football playoff twice, two times in a row. Certainly, you're going to look back at this 2022 iteration and say that there's no excuse and no reason why they shouldn't have won that, and I still feel like that's the case. It's 100% on him and partially the coaching staff and whatever, but hey, he still got you there in the four-team version. And it's going to be different with the 12-team version because it's going to be obviously the path to get in is going to be different and it's going to be easier. But he has certainly proven that he can take Michigan and turn it around. Now, he needs to be paid as such. And it sounds like despite the constant wavering of kind of what we've heard in the last 48 hours, it sounds like he wants to be back at Michigan. And weirdly, a conversation with Queen City News comes out, and he says that, I think I will be coaching back at Michigan next year. Now, the "I think" is different than "I will," right? "I think I will" and "I will" are two separate things. So it's still clearly very much up in the air. And it sounds like it's a matter of getting everybody on the same page and making that happen. And the good news is it sounds like they're working on it as we speak. This thing needs to be done immediately. At least if things aren't what they were a year ago, when it was a situation where you waited until signing day, so we're into February and he's interviewing with the Minnesota Vikings, and then he kind of spins the news of, I turned it down, and doesn't sound like that's exactly how it went, but you know, it's fine, I've done it, you know. I got laid off from a job and was like, well, I'm going to go start my own talent management company. And I did, but that wasn't my plan A, right? My plan A was to get a job at a production company like Bender Spink, you know, that was producing comedies. It wasn't start my own management company. That wasn't plan A. And Jim Harbaugh did the same thing, was go out there and said, you know, I want to return to Michigan. Now, Michigan became plan A, and it sounds like Michigan is still plan A. And it's just a matter of getting everyone together on that same page to make sure that he feels like he is being commiserated in the same light as those who are having success in football. The fact that it isn't already done, weirdly, is a failure on Michigan. And there's some reports that I've seen out there that Michigan's the one who's kind of waffling. And listen, if you want to be a college football power, you don't have any room to waffle. You get what you pay for. And they're very fortunate that they have gotten a lot out of Jim Harbaugh without paying Jim Harbaugh what he has certainly shown in his coaching tenure to be worth. Now, I was 100% behind the pay cut when it happened because he hadn't shown that, right? He hadn't beaten Ohio State. He hadn't gotten Michigan to the college football playoff. They hadn't won in the Big Ten. Guess what? He's done that two years in a row now. So you pay the man, you go from there. So we will see what Michigan decides to do, but it sounds like they're working things out, and that's great news for Michigan. Let's continue talking about this here in just a moment. But before we do that, listen, betonline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to college bowl season to basketball and World Cup. We've got it all at betonline.net. If you love sports podcasts, guess what? They've got those on BetOnline as well. We are always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Right, we are take two with this. I basically finished the podcast. Well, not quite. I was two-thirds of the way through. I was going to the break and realized there was no sound recording. So that was fun. Anyhow, we're back. I am eager to get this wrapped up. It's not downpouring yet, but That's the crazy thing. You would think after, you know, you told someone, hey, I'm taking 12 days, doesn't matter what time of year, I'm taking 12 days and I'm going to Phoenix and then I'm going to Southern California, I'm going to Orange County, California. You'd sit there and be like, man, that person is going to have such a good time. Not that I haven't had a good time. You'd think like, oh, that person's just going to really enjoy the sunshine and the warmth and all of that. Nope. Now, I do see some tiny bit of blue sky out my 10th story window here. Just little smatterings of it. But it's not going to last. I am still drenched from earlier today. I'm sure my jacket is and everything. And I'm eager to get back out there and do more of the things. But anyway, let's continue into this whole ordeal here. Not that I remember what I said immediately before, because... So if I repeat myself, I apologize, but this is incumbent upon Michigan to get this stuff figured out now, right? Because the thing is about it is they need to recognize that they have one of two directions that they can go. And chances are that if you go direction number B, it's not going to be good for the program, especially because you've struggled thus far with NIL. And it, yes, it's all recruiting related. You might get someone who's a really good X's and O's person, but just with the changing landscape of college football, you also have to be able to get recruits. Now, I think that Michigan can get away with having classes like 17th overall, like it has, as long as it's like an every other year type scenario, because Michigan, at least under Jim Harbaugh, has been really good at developing those guys who are those tweeners of 3 and 4 stars. And I like how Jim Harbaugh had said it, as sometimes you're getting a guy that if he had one more year in high school, he would be a 4 or 5 star. I think that's pretty appropriate, right? Guys grow into their roles at different times, and if you're getting raw talent, sometimes you can turn that into something. But if you're Michigan, you absolutely cannot rely on this idea of, you know, we can move on from this guy. There's not a lot of territory out there to go and plow, right? If Ohio State, and I think I might have said this last time, but I don't remember if I said it in segment one or if I said it in the part that didn't record. If you're Ohio State and say you decide you need something better, I'm going to move on from Ryan Day. That's what I'm going to do. There's really only one guy that can maybe satiate the fan base at least, and that's Mike Vrabel. And he didn't have a very good year in Tennessee. So there's just not like a new hotness out there. And Michigan got very fortunate that their new hotness happened to be the new hotness when they needed another head coach, happened to be a famous alum who everyone wanted to come coach back at Michigan. So it was a very fortuitous situation. If you are the administration, I'm not saying you have to go full Mel Tucker on this guy, right? I'm not saying that you need to give him, you know, 10 years, $100 million, no buyout. It's 100% paid in full regardless of what you do. I'm not saying that. But you need to make sure that you don't let this happen on a yearly basis, because we saw what happened last year, and it wasn't good, right, for the recruiting standpoint. It had a tangible effect. I always thought recruiting was okay, it's going to uptick, but you didn't close the door. You need to do whatever you can to close the door as much as you possibly are capable of doing. And you might not be capable of fully closing it because, you know, in a couple of years, another coach ends up getting an even more absurd amount and all of that, and things continue to escalate. But you have to keep in mind, especially if you are a university and you are an athletic department, that a lot of those very high-figure coaches essentially are worth it because they cause that revenue, right? How many coaches in the last 2 years have gone to the college football playoff for the last 2 years? Two. How many coaches out there have been to more than one college football playoff? I would venture to guess what? 4 or 5, Nick Saban, Ryan Day, you know, has now been to 2, Jim Harbaugh, Kirby Smart, Lincoln Riley, Brian Kelly. And 2 of those not with the programs they're currently with. I think that's the list, right? So you need to do everything in your power to make sure that you retain that talent. And if you don't, you can find yourself sliding back to irrelevancy, right? Real quick. Jim Harbaugh, in essence, when I was thinking about this earlier, you have Marcus Freeman. Everyone tried to rationalize, oh, we are so excited about Marcus Freeman. Heck, I like Marcus Freeman, right? Like, you know, he's going to be so good. But the hyperbole got to be too much, right? All because Brian Kelly left. And I remember in that first game, Chris Fowler talking about Marcus Freeman before the game had started and being like, they're amazing, so good head coach. And it's like, we don't know that. I don't know that there is that guy for Michigan. You don't want to fall into irrelevancy. You make money by spending money, and you got to spend money. You got to put your money where their mouth is when it comes to Jim Harbaugh and make it happen. Otherwise, you find yourself in a situation where you just start backsliding, and that's the last possible thing you want to do if you're Michigan. Because especially with the expanded playoff, yes, you can assume it's going to be easier for Michigan to get in on a yearly basis, because it, as long as it takes care of most business, it will be ranked high enough to be one of those top 12. But as you've learned, as they should have learned, anyone involved or near adjacent to the athletic department or the university, even when you swing for the fences and get a guy that everyone says this is going to be really good, Rich Rodriguez, it turns out to be a disaster. You don't want to make a regime change if you don't need to. You don't want to set your program back if you don't need to. It is absolutely crucial that they find a way to make it happen. All right, let's move on and talk just for a few minutes on, we've gotten a couple people entering the transfer portal. Let's discuss that here in just a moment. All right, thanks to the fact that I'm not recording sound on the computer like I normally would when I'm home, I have no idea how long we're going. So a lot of times I have no idea because I can't see the screen and I'm talking, and you know, as you've seen, if you've watched or if you've listened, you can hear all the background noise of me recording on location. This isn't me just being ignorant of what's happening and being incapable of seeing a tiny number on a tiny little monitor. This is me not knowing because I have to cut out a bunch of the last take. So if we're super short, I really apologize. Chances are we won't be. But anyway, Michigan had two guys enter the NCAA transfer portal. One of them is, yeah, it was like, okay, that's 100%. That tracks, right? It hasn't worked out for you. The other one, it's a little different, and I understand it, but it's kind of one of those, man, you've had every opportunity in the world, and you just haven't made it happen. Maybe he does need some fresh scenery here. So the first one that I'm referring to is, because they're both defensive linemen, edge rusher types, the first one I'm referring to is Julius Welskopf. And it's disappointing that he's never worked, but they've kind of done the meddling thing with his position. They had him bulk up. They went to defensive tackle. It looked good for about a game, and then it just kind of didn't work after that. Had him come back to edge rusher again and didn't see the field in that at all. Looking at the just tackles, pure tackles on the year, Julius Welskopf in 14 games had 6, and I would venture to guess that most, if not all of those, were on special teams. I mean, we can look. I guess that's something that we can do. It just is one of those things where it just never felt like he could quite get that footing, which is disappointing. I think, you know, he's a guy that's got a lot of talent as an athlete. He's a skier. He's very twitchy. I've watched him during his workout. I know anyone that's listened to this show for any period of time knows about that. Looking at his snap counts, he actually played quite a bit overall. Mostly special teams. He had 5 games in which he played on the defensive line. 3 of them, unfortunately, were the non-conference. Then weeks 10 and 11. So we're talking the Rutgers and whatever was after Rutgers. memory not working. Nebraska. Rutgers and Nebraska. And on the D-line, so not edge really necessarily, possibly, but out of his 236 snaps, 37 came on the defense. Everything else was on special teams, according to PFF. So for him, yeah, it makes sense. The unfortunate thing for him is, like, he's getting kind of long in the tooth, right? He's been around since he committed in 2017, so he's been around forever. He was on the team from 2018 until now. But similarly, you've got another guy, similarly, in Taylor Upshaw, who has had every opportunity. You know, he's been a starter from time to time and then finds himself getting usurped, it seems, every time he starts to catch on. He had a pretty good snap count list, right? This past year, he's 263, and he had only 19 on special teams. Otherwise, 263 total on defense out of the 282 snaps according. But he's a guy, and I just want to look at his snap count. He had 202 last year, but he's another 2018 kid. 2020, I mean, he also had 209. So he's just kind of always been the same overall as far as snap counts. But you look at the production, and it just never really got there. He only had 11 tackles on the season. And I know defensive linemen aren't necessarily going to have like an insane amount of tackles, but he has always been in that place where it's like he's there. He's ready to make that opportunity. He's taking the best of it, make the most of it, and it just never seems to come to fruition. He got passed by a transfer, Iabi Oki, a guy 2 years his junior in Braden McGregor, a guy that was another 2 years his junior in Jalen Harrell. I mean, we're not talking apples to oranges as to what they do, but and he's had his moments. Certainly, he'll always be remembered for that interception against Ohio State. But just never really reached that potential after he flipped from Florida. So it is disappointing that he is going to move on. I hope that he does find that other gear and maybe he'll go to some place where it just works out better. They can utilize him a little bit better. But it's disappointing that he never quite just seemed like stopped trying to make Fetch happen, became kind of stopped trying to make Taylor Upshaw happen. I'm really overstating it here because he's been very good, but it's generally when you are a starting defensive end at Michigan, you're going to be a first round or second round, maybe third round draft pick. And he just hasn't been that. And it's unfortunate that that didn't come to fruition. I wish him the best. He's a great dude. It is unfortunate that they lose them. But you've got guys like Derek Moore coming up. You expect him to be pretty good. I mean, he had three less tackles than Taylor Upshaw this last year and played in probably a lot less snaps. That's going to do it for us today. We will be back with the mailbag on Thursday. Definitely we'll be taking an extended break because it is supposed to downpour all day here. Anyway, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll be back soon. Peace.